Okay, hey everybody, can you hear me? Good.
Good
Good.
evening. Hello. How are you?
What was it? You sound like I can't even think. Never mind. The
The
Truman
Truman
Show.
Show. Well, since you say hello.
Good morning, good afternoon, in case I don't see you again, good evening or something.
Good night.
Something like that. Okay. Hey, Marge.
Hey, Marge.
Let's see. Marge and Sharon and Cheryl and Ken.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Big crowd.
So here we are for Growing with NTI. And sometimes it's Tom and me and Connie, but not in the summertime. Tom's in New York, so it's me and Connie. And before we get started, we'll have a prayer. So let's just take a moment and do that. Yeah, my prayer is that that we're all just really fully here, fully present, in the truth of who we are, and that the truth of knowing that the truth of who we are is the same for all of us. It's the same one teaching that's listening, and so that's my prayer is to be in that space with each of you. Amen.
Beautiful.
I was thinking it sounded a whole lot like Tom's prayer.
Willingness, I told you. Give me your willingness.
Welcome, Kathy.
Hey, Kathy.
Okay. So here we go. We are. Do you want some more
No,
pillows?
we're fine. I'm good.
Okay. We are Luke chapter 12,
Verses 22 through 34.
that's correct, page 153. Here we go. Do not worry about your progress on this path that you travel to healing. To be on the path and aware of the path and thinking of the path is enough.
That's real sweet. I mean, it is. It's just real sweet that the Holy Spirit would say, don't worry about it. You're on the path.
That's very gentle. I'm more of a drill sergeant.
Yep.
In that I was thinking when I just read that, I'm like, it's enough for who?
Vovo.
That gentle Holy Spirit, I think, is who it's enough for me. We've talked before about how this can be somewhat painful. You seem to become more sensitized, right? You're willing to tolerate less crap, right? And so that when you're in your wrong mind, it feels more painful than it felt before, than when you were in your wrong mind all the time.
Well, yeah, because you feel like, oh my God, I'm right where I don't want to be. I've got a foot in both worlds, and this has
Awful.
got to be worse than all in one or the other.
Yeah, it's worse than being totally asleep,
Yeah.
right? That's the way it feels. So when he says to be on the path and aware of the path and thinking of the path is enough, you go,
Oh, you sweetie. That's reassuring. Okay, tell me more.
let me tell you a secret that will make your journey along this path simpler and more joyful.
Tell me, tell me.
The secret is this. As you travel this path, you will only have two experiences. It may seem like many, but in truth, it is only two. One experience will speed you along your journey in joy. The other will delay your journey a little while. The secret to a simple and joyful journey is to learn to discern between these two experiences, and then always choose the joyful one.
So speed or delay?
That's right.
I could have gotten that.
That's right.
Yeah, it's funny how there's always only two choices.
And one of them isn't true. So there's really only one all the time, right?
Yep.
We lost Kathy.
Well, can't pick it up, will you?
All right.
Could you make this a little more interesting?
Right. Sorry. I'll try and do better. Holy Spirit says, I have spoken to you of both experiences before, so this is but a reminder for you.
Okay. Kathy already got it.
No, Kathy's back. Hey, Kathy. We thought Connie told me when you left that I need to pick it up and do better. If it caused us to lose you. So I've spoken to you of both experiences before, so this is but a reminder for you. The only two experiences that you will know as we travel this path together are the experience of your willingness and the experience of resistance. Everything you think you experience is either one or the other.
Yeah. I had that experience the first time. Funny, somebody called me out of my resistance. I didn't believe them at all. You know, I was out in Utah, and I was supposed to be doing these lessons about like the workbook lessons, and I was supposed to be doing those, and I had all this work to do, and their broadband out there was nothing. I mean, you just had a limited time and a limited space that you could get this work done, and you'd go to get on it, and somebody else would be on it, and there was just all this stuff coming up, and somebody said to me, well, your resistance seems high. My hackles went up, and went, what do you mean my resistance? But if it's only one or the other, what else would it be called?
Willingness.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I'm right here. I'm sitting in line for the computer.
That's funny. Well, this says, do not worry. So, do not worry about your progress on this path. Do not judge your own thoughts or actions, for worry and judgment do not bring joy. And so they cannot be willingness, which is really cool because you'd think that would throw you into a position where, you know, if there's only willingness or resistance, if you're not experiencing what you would call willingness, if you're not experiencing the joy of it, then you want to be down on yourself. You want to be hard on yourself.
Right.
And this reminds you, wait, there's only two experiences, willingness and joy or resistance. So if you're being down on yourself, that's not willingness, that's not joy. That is resistance.
Yeah, so you're, I had double resistance in my experience, I guess.
It's double dipping, yeah. Yeah, ego double dipping, no question about it. Compounding the problem, Kathy says.
We're on Kathy page. Always nails it, doesn't she?
She does. She's right on it. We're on page 154. Thanks, Marge, for sharing that information. Okay, so discern carefully, my friend. Recognize the thought within your mind. At every opportunity, choose the strength of your willingness. Seek only the kingdom, and all things will be given you. Where your heart is, your treasure is also.
And that reminds me of our lesson this weekend with Romana, saying, don't give room for those doubt thoughts.
Yeah, you get, they're just like any other thoughts.
Yeah,
you get them at their inception.
Right. So nip them in the bud right when they start to come in, and instead and delve back into the self.
That's right.
Who am I?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, and that's this process that, like you correctly identified them as being the same thing. That is what's being said here. Seek only for the kingdom, and all things will be given you. Where your heart is, your treasure is also. Okay. NTI Luke 12:35 through 48. It will be helpful if you remember this. God's will is that you be perfectly happy in every moment of eternity. I thought you might have something to say about that. Are you going to wait a minute?
Am I talking too much?
No! No, that's, gosh, no, that's not what I was saying, because I know that you and I talked about this particular thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I remember the first time I did the workbook lesson that said,
God's will for you is perfect happiness.
And I was going, yeah, your interpretation of perfect happiness, that might not be mine. Maybe my happiness is wallowing around in my muck and my mire.
Yeah. So God's will is that you be perfectly happy in every moment of eternity. That is simple. And so, when you are not happy, you have made a choice that is not God's will. Yeah, it does take us a while to whatever you said, roll around your muck and your mire. I mean, it does take us a while to realize that that's not where our happiness is. And that our will and God's will is the same. And once we follow that, once we, you know, some folks might say get in purpose, right? Once we follow our heart's true desire, then we do find that that's where our true happiness lies.
Yeah. And, you know, and something else I've been thinking a lot for this, that other class, I'm sorry I keep bringing it up, you know, the who am I, or no, actually it was the Fred Davis interview you did, and he's talking about we've all had that experience of, I don't want to lose this thought, we've all had that awakening experience, and I was thinking about that experience I told you about where I knew there wasn't any world, and what a tremendous experience that was, but I've been rethinking about that, because that was my awakening experience, and in that experience, I knew there was an apparent world, but I knew that there was really no world, and therefore there really was no suffering. There was only happiness, and the joy and the relief that came with that made me weep incessantly.
That's so sweet. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, that's really sweet, honey. That's awesome. So when you're not happy, thank you, Connie, for sharing that experience. It's really, really, really sweet. And I hope you all are hearing Connie. If you're not, tell us, but yes, excellent. Okay. When you're not happy, you have chosen with resistance. That is all. It's not a fight or a rebellion. It is merely resistance. It does not take you from God or separate you from Him. It merely resists your willingness to know Him. So you haven't changed anything,
right?
Fundamentally. I mean, just like you said about the suffering, right? It really doesn't exist. You're just having that experience.
Exactly.
Yeah. So whenever you are not happy, it is because you are resisting accepting truth. To be happy again, all you need do is return your heart to your willingness. Your willingness sings of God's will. And so give yourself to it in every hour to know happiness. Let me tell you another secret. The world cannot make you happy, and so the world must not be God's will for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds a little bit different than it once did, huh?
Yeah.
Holy Spirit says, do not worry about the world. Let the world take care of itself and trust that all things are handled in a loving way. You, my friend, are to follow your own heart. Set your feet on the path to healing and let your mind stay with the joy that comes from your willingness. Give no thought to anything else, and you will make yourself truly helpful to all. Yeah, and so, this is also some of the stuff that we've been looking at in our Ramana Maharshi class. You know, it's like, well, if I give up the thinking mind, how will I know how to operate within the world? And the answer that Ramana gives is, the sage, the wise man, knows that he's not doing anything. You know, that everything is done through him. That there's really only one thing going on here, right? And that is the isness, the oneness that is. And there's a flow, right? And then I don't need to take any separate action to make anything happen.
Yeah, and that was what was rather profound about in that in your satsang with Fred Davis, and he said he had that experience of lacking for money, and he said, "Well, you got some in your wallet."
Yeah, here's your wallet right here.
Let me look at this thing, this contraption. It's got money in it. So if it has money in it, then I must not be in need of money.
Right. And he said, in fact, that's where he's at. He keeps his extra money. His wallet. Yeah, you know, it's funny because I had a similar experience. I think I told you about it last week. I was like worrying about money because I haven't been working in my day job very much, you know. And then I got tickled because I kept getting these checks in the mail for no reason. Checks that I wasn't expecting, you know. Something from a little class action settlement, you know, $20 or something, and then something, I'd overpaid my taxes and I got a little bit back from them, and but it's funny, it's just, it felt like the universe winking, going, "You're worried about money, are you? Well, here's a little bit." You know, and then, yeah, but the point is, you're right, because the lack, the limitation, the problems, those are all mind-made, imagined problems. We're sitting here fat and happy and healthy and whole.
At least
half the first three. Fat and happy. The first two, anyway, right?
There you go.
Yeah. So anything else, anything other than that would have to be something that I've imagined to be so.
And yeah, if you'd have to be worrying about the future.
Yeah.
Or about the past, but
yeah.
That's a, you know, that was what was really cool about it, because I really heard it when he was talking about the no stress of the finance. There's money in the wallets, so in truth, I mean, you almost can't talk about it. It's there. So what are you worried about? Are you worried that the universe won't provide
for you the same way it's done now every day for 55 years?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And have you ever done without? Ever? No.
No, I'm fat and happy. The first two.
Never have we done without.
Yeah.
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 And all the rest of it's imagined.
Yeah, so it's not even your past experience.
No.
So it's just an imagined experience.
Maybe that could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy, actually.
Yeah.
Let's see. Complete insanity. Yay. Oh. I'm you probably won't know why I'm making those noises. Cheryl just typed here, "I just discovered today there is unclaimed funds that I was not aware of. It's over $1,000.
Yeah, Cheryl, come on in.
That's great. Okay. Kathy typed, hashtag fat happy Jackie Connie. All right, here we are. We are at the bottom of page 154, Luke 12, verses 54 through 59. "And so, my brothers, I say to you all, pay attention to how you are feeling. When you are not feeling joy, you have chosen resistance. Do not worry about your mistake. It's not held against you. See it only as a wake-up call and a reminder to choose your joy and willingness again. In this way, you wake yourself up. In this way, you make the choice that sets you free."
Yeah, then, and I know we said this before, but that's so cool, because all the wake-up call is, or all the seeing it's not seeing the resistance for what it is the barometer that there's another choice there, and oh, I've made the wrong choice because I'm not happy as have the perfect happiness that God wants me to have while I'm choosing this frame of mind. So just let it be the barometer to let me see that there's another choice.
Choose again.
Choose again.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and it almost gets down to as simple as that. Any time we're not perfectly happy, just to, what is it? Okay, choose again.
Choose again, yeah. Yeah, and as we're reading this and we were talking about imagining, you know, imagining I could do without, imagining that I don't have enough money, imagining whatever it is. I think the reading from the Gentle Healing tonight says, you know, if that's what you want to imagine, you're welcome to do that. But because of who you are, because of what you really are, you have the power to imagine yourself right into that situation.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, that's, you know, everything is a reenactment of the original fall or whatever, but that's what we did. We imagined ourselves in this situation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now we're asked to let go of those imaginings so the truth of who we are can arise.
The undoing.
Right. Very good. Okay, NTI Luke chapter 13, page 155. When you look at the world, remember that you are looking through the filter of your own mind. When you find yourself reacting to the world you see, remember that you are only reacting to the thoughts in your mind. This will provide for you the opportunity to see the thoughts that you think. As you watch the world through the filter of your mind, you will think you see many things. Some will seem good, heartwarming, funny, happy, and desirable. Others will seem frightening, horrible, wrong, disgusting, and undesirable. And there will seem to be a sliding scale of good and bad in every thought that is in between. Now, remember again that you are looking through the filter of your mind, which means that the concepts of good and bad must be thought of there. Surely you will see that these thoughts are yours, and you are the proud owner of the judgments you have made. Recognizing that you own your judgments is important, for if you are the owner or the believer of what you think, then you can also decide to choose again and allow yourself to think differently. Yeah, so this is the theme we always talk about, this looking through the filter of your mind. It's looking through, you know, through your judgments about how things ought to be, how the world's supposed to work, how that guy's supposed to drive his car, how she's supposed to act in a friendship, whether or not, you know, how much you're supposed to tip. I mean, whatever it is, we're looking through that filter. And then we're going, that's good, that's bad, that's good, that's medium, that's okay. I don't know about that. I don't like that one. I like her. I don't like him. And so we have all these gradations, all these judgments that we make. And that's in complete contrast to what we're practicing, of course, with this consistent gentle healing class, which is loving everything. And if you can't love it, we got a couple of step downs for you. You know, accept it or allow it, right?
Right.
Actually, I don't think those are the two.
No, they are.
It's love it. Accept
allowing.
I know. Come on, Kathy. Oh, she says we're right. Thank you, Kathy. Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, the point is that's what we do, is we make those judgments, and we've got them all on some scale, and we make ourselves miserable with that instead of just loving what is.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's such a, you know, even in the worldly terms, it's such a much nicer world when you do that.
It's a lot. It is. I mean, well, who knows? Because we are where we are. But I mean, it's a lot easier to let people be themselves.
Yeah, it's not nearly as exhausting and tiring and
You're trying to control all that stuff that you can't control anyway. What
absolutely.
that one says, or what, how he's gonna act, or how so and so is gonna respond, and let me prop this up here and move this over there, and
Hold my mouth right.
yeah. At first, you may not see why you should want to change some of the judgments you have made. So I ask this of you. Remember that judgment is like a knife that looks at the Son of God and separates him.
Wow.
This means that as long as you hold on to your judgment as something that has value, you are blind to the beauty and the value of the sight of the Son of God.
Oh, sweet.
And now, with that thought in your mind, can you give your willingness to lay judgment aside, whatever they may seem to be? If you can find but a bit of willingness to see the Son of God, and so not to judge, that is enough. And if each time you notice your judgments, you give your willingness in whatever measure it may seem to be, that is enough again. I bless you with my gratitude each time you give me but the smallest measure of your willingness. For each small measure is like fertilizer. It is useful to me in the healing of your heart.
Tom should be here for willingness.
That's right. Yeah, and like Regina was telling us last week in Consistent Gentle Healing, cling to your willingness as if it is everything, because it is, from Galatians. It is everything. Yeah, it's just that willingness to choose again. The Course says it. All that's required is a little willingness.
Yeah, but it is a consistent witness.
It is consistent, yeah.
It's kind of like it's that healthcare. It's a healthcare rule that if you've had it before, then it's not gonna be covered.
Oh, the
Precondition.
pre-existing
Pre-existing.
illness
Yeah,
condition.
pre-existing. Yeah.
How's it like that?
Well, it's just because if you don't have it, then you can't. Then it's hard to get there. If you keep it,
Oh, it's a prerequisite. The willingness is a
yeah,
prerequisite.
yes,
You have to have it as a pre-existing condition. That's great. Yeah, and it builds on itself. It does.
yes.
It just like yeah. It just opens more and more and more with the more willingness that,
Yeah,
or with the consistent willingness.
and when it drops away, then now you gotta get back, and gotta get back on the path. It's like it's not starting all over again, but it's starting over, right? And it's starting over, but if you're chugging along and just staying there on the path, I mean, I'm made up with homework, right? Between the two classes. So I mean, but it's keeping me on the path. I mean, to keep up, I've got to do it. I've got to do it. I got to do it. And it's so it doesn't drop away. And then now you gotta, oh yeah, you're supposed to be on the path. It's been a couple of weeks. Maybe you ought to do a lesson again.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, pre-existing condition. Okay. Your confusion comes from the binding ways of your own thinking until now. It is your thoughts that have made you suffer. And so, if you would choose freedom, you must also choose freedom from your thoughts. Speaking about Fred again, wait a minute, I'll get this. Heard Fred say it, and I just it's nothing new, but I really liked the way he said it. He said, "I am not a thinker. I am a witness to thoughts." Right? So, yeah, so as we begin to disidentify from our thoughts, that's where the real traction comes.
You know, and if you can do any snippet of that, and I haven't done a lot of it, I can tell you. But if you do a little snippet of it, you go, oh, that was cool. I mean, it's really nice to just let them go when they start to come up. You go, no, I'm not going to go there.
I'm not buying that.
That's cool. And it's fun and it's fascinating to let those go. If you can, it's almost like a game or a puzzle. Oh, up here, no, oh no,
you almost got me.
Exactly.
Right, and that's the willingness that you're just talking about. Your willingness to do that, to feel that result and go, hey, this is cool, gives you greater willingness to let it go the next time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And as Kathy points out, it's the most important thing we can be doing.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Kathy.
Let's see. This is why I have come. I am here to teach you to lay down your thoughts, to loosen yourself from your feelings. Let me try again. I don't know where feelings come in. Maybe that's right, maybe not, but that's not what the book says. The book says, I'm here to teach you to lay down your thoughts, to loosen yourself from your bindings, and to straighten up and walk in joy and gratitude instead. You kind of get that 2010 Space Odyssey feeling from that, right? With we're like apes dragging our knuckles on the ground. We come alive. Right? Straighten up and walk in joy and gratitude instead. Amen.
Go and sin no more.
That's right. So, how does one come to know the peace and joy of God? I tell you that it is not through the worry and effort of your old ways. Sit down and relax with me. And that really is what some of us, that's what me is, wants to do. You want to work your way into this. You want to figure out what the solution is, and then you want to just work really hard to make that work, but that's not how this works.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's your thinking mind that got you in the problem in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's just make me think of that lesson, Rest in God.
Mm-hmm.
How it's like, you know, it was so comforting. It was like, I don't know, so a little bed was made there, and I'm going to pull up and rest, and, you know, I'm going to let it all go, and I'm going to rest in God. It was a real comforting lesson for me.
That's sweet. One comes to know the peace and joy of God by listening to me, as a small child who is eager to learn listens to a parent. And then, just as that child does, by trying everything the parent asks it to try. But if you watch a child when it is learning something new, you will notice that the learning itself does not seem to come from the child's effort. The practice is but an expression of the child's willingness to learn. The learning itself seems to come upon the child like a miracle, and suddenly the small child can do what it could not do before. That's really amazing. It's that idea. You know, we've heard people talk about it. You know, you practice. Enlightenment or awakening comes upon you as a matter of grace, right? It's like an accident, but practice makes you accident prone, right? And because you've cleared a space,
right?
You know, in your mind where you can
exactly.
You can accept the truth.
Yeah, some people have said, you know, yeah, if you're hearing something, if you're hearing guidance, to take those steps as if you know, do your part, and until you do your part, then the rest of the parts can't fall into place, because you have to be a part of the process.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like how he said the practice is but an expression of the child's willingness to learn. And that's, of course, that's the metaphor. It's true of our willingness as well. You have to be willing to take the steps.
Right.
This is how it is with you, it says here. Listen and practice as an expression of your willingness, but do not expect results from your listening and your practice. Expect results from the expression of your willingness. Yeah, because otherwise you're the human improving. You're right? You're becoming something that you weren't before. Right? If you think of this, and all my hard work is really going to pay off because I'm going to learn these things and I'm going to become something I haven't been before. And the truth of that is no. What you're doing is you're expressing, and by expressing, you're experiencing your willingness to let go of these beliefs that you've held about who you are.
Right.
You're expressing it to yourself and experiencing it for yourself. So oneness that expresses through you goes, oh, we're waking up here. We're waking up to ourselves, right?
Right. There is that space, that allowance for that.
Yeah, but it's not like I'm creating something that didn't exist before. You know, like I'm creating for law school, right? I created this body of knowledge. I didn't create it, but, I created in my mind a body of knowledge so that I would go out and be able to use that to practice law, right?
Right.
But that's not what we're doing here.
Right.
We're not creating a body of something. We're not improving this character, right?
Right.
We're expressing our willingness to let go of our old belief that we are a character.
Right. And then the grace can step in.
Yeah. And then the grace can step in. Yeah. Yep. Yes, expect results from the expression of your willingness. There are many distractions that come. Yes. And as Kathy says, enlightenment is but a recognition, not a change at all. Absolutely. Enlightenment is but a recognition, not a change at all. There are many distractions that come to keep your mind from me. Remember that distractions are temptations put forth by your resistance, and resist the distraction instead. I have said before that it is not important what you do, but why you do it. This is an invitation to do all things for me. If each distraction can become an opportunity to hear my voice, you are doing well on the path to healing. The door to the kingdom of heaven is not narrow. The door is open to all, and all shall enter in their time. Pass through the door, one must pass by distractions. You do well not to be delayed long on your way. Make me your only purpose in all things. Your willingness is everything. Through your willingness, see all things anew. Hey, Joanne.
Okay.
Ready? Okay, Luke, NTI Luke chapter 14.
Page 157.
Thank you. Now is a very important time. For now is the only time that you can take any action that will make any difference. This is funny. It's just really funny. We're going to be looking at this later in the gentle healing class. From Hebrews saying the same thing. You think,
oh, yeah?
Yeah, you think that now is tomorrow. It says.
Oh yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah, it's not. It's now. Oh, I'll take care of that. Yeah, I'm going to get to that. Yeah, but now is the only time there is,
yeah.
Right? In fact, it's outside of time, but for purposes of the discussion, now is the only time that you have to express your willingness.
Yeah, and now's the only time you've got enough money. Or all the time you have enough money.
Right, right. Yeah. Now is a very important time, for now is the only time that you can take any action that will make any difference. In spite of its tendency to plan, even the ego understands the truth of the moment now. Approach the current moment with humility, as if you do not know what the current moment is for. Approaching this moment with this attitude is only a demonstration of honesty, for you cannot know what is coming, or what you should do, or where you should go. By approaching this moment in honesty and humility, you open up to hear my guidance within this current moment.
Yeah, thinking you know is not going to get you anywhere.
Yeah, because like in the Rules for Decision in Course in Miracles, it's like you make a decision about what you want to see happen, and then you ask for guidance.
Yeah, and you know, and that sounds absurd, but it is pretty hard not to do that.
Holy Spirit, should I do this and be rich and famous, or should I do this and be a miserable failure? Tell me.
Exactly.
Right. I'll tell you what my guidance is in this current moment. It's to switch places with you and let you read.
Really?
Yeah. Karen's like, this is not my guidance.
All right. Since we have the same Holy Spirit, I guess I'll pay attention.
Thanks, honey.
Uh-huh. Okay, trail through 14. When you approach me within the current moment and share your prayers, do not pray about problems you perceive within the world expecting me to provide answers to you. Instead, think about your reactions to the problems you have perceived. What thoughts did you notice in your mind? What judgments are you making?
Yeah, and that's the, I mean, it's, first of all, it's exactly what we just talked about, but it's also, you know, emphasizes that it doesn't matter what seems to be going on in the world, because it's all about waking up. That's all it can ever be about. And so the question is, what in me is still harboring thoughts of division? What in me is keeping me from realizing who I really am? It doesn't matter what in you, what your problem is, right? As if you had one, or what's going on out in the world. What in me still needs to be healed?
So think about your reactions to the problems.
Yeah.
Think about your reactions to the problems. I'm trying to put my head around that a little bit.
Yeah, so when somebody tells you, I don't know, so when somebody tells you something about something that's going on with one of your family members, you go, what is wrong with her? Doesn't she know that when that happens, you got to da-da-da? I mean, this is just a wild example, but then that shows you what you believe instead of, you know, it shows you that you're invested in your beliefs about the world.
Oh, okay, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of just going, you know, oh, is that what happened? Or, you know, right?
Yeah.
Shows you where your sticking points are.
Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you. Okay. Think of prayer as an opportunity to empty your mind of guilt, fear, distractions, resistance, and judgment by bringing them to me. Think of prayer as an opportunity to renew your willingness and revitalize your faith. Then when this has been done and without specific expectations, ask me what you are to do. You will be rewarded with the guidance that is perfect for your healing in that moment.
Yeah, and this is, if you don't mind me interrupting.
Not at all.
This is exactly what the Course is talking about in the Rules for Decision, right?
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, so when you have a problem and you go to Holy Spirit in prayer, right? Or
yeah.
Whatever form that takes, when you perceive you have a problem, what all you're required to do is to give up your beliefs, expectations, judgments, all of that around this seeming problem, and go, And what would you have me do? Now, let me tell you what the problem is.
Yeah, it was
Right.
like you were kind of saying before, if you've already got the problem defined, then it can't be answered, or it can only be answered the way you want it answered, and that there's a real good chance that's not the answer.
Yeah, and remember this, you will be rewarded with guidance that is perfect for your healing in that moment. So then if you go to Holy Spirit, you get, pots of gold and rainbows all the time. That's not what it's saying. You're going to be guided to what's best for your healing. You're going, if you're willing, basically all this is saying is if you're willing to be healed, you'll be healed.
Right.
If you don't bring it to Holy Spirit going, I know I'm right about this, or look at this problem, look what so-and-so did, right? If you just come and go, I'm upset. I want this upset healed. Right? That's it.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
So it's 9.
Let me read 8 again. You will be rewarded with the guidance that is perfect for your healing in that moment. But know that my reward is not given because you have prayed as I have asked, but instead because you have prayed as I ask, you have readied yourself to receive the reward that I have been waiting to give.
Yeah, again, it's that same idea that there's a glass, we're just cleaning the glass, right? We're just removing the limitations that we would put on ourselves, right? We're not changing who we are. We're not growing into better people.
Right.
We're just removing that filter. We're just clearing that filter. That's the gift that is there to be given.
Right. It is what it is, and your perception may be a gross misperception. And if I can give that over to the Holy Spirit, then I have a chance at true perception as opposed to this misperception. But if I think I know, I think I want to delineate the answers, then I'm probably going to hear what I'm delineating.
Yeah, and I think you make a good point bringing that back in. That's absolutely approaching this moment with humility, as if you don't know what the current moment is for.
Okay, I lost my place. Where are we? 15 through 24?
I think so.
Okay, folks, we're at 15 through 24.
Page 158.
God welcomes all into the banquet of heaven. In fact, it can be no other way, for one will not find his way into the banquet unless he looks to his brothers and lets them show him the way. This is what I mean by that. The Spirit of God is one, and admission into the banquet is the acceptance of this fact, for the acceptance and the banquet are one. There is no difference and no delay between them. Acceptance and the banquet are one. So the reward is the same as accepting the reward.
Yeah, there's only one thing going on here. There's only oneness, onenessing, right? There's
right.
only happeningness happening. And accepting that fact is its own reward.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You see your brothers as separate from you and frequently in conflict with you. This is an illusion based on the judgments within your mind. Without the judgments that separate, there could be no separateness. So in absence of judgment, there is only one. Kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Many of the judgments you make are judgments regarding your brothers. No kidding. I mean, I make a few about myself. But I ask you to look at these. I ask that you look at these judgments with willingness to let the judgments go. I'm ready. In making this request, I offer you the invitation to the banquet. Will you be distracted by your belief in your judgments instead? I hope not.
Yeah, again, it's an opportunity to see that there's only one thing going on here. It's an opportunity to see that, you know, we can't be judging other people because there's no one else to judge. You know, are you nonetheless going to be distracted? But can you believe what she said? Can you believe that when I did this, she did that? I mean, we all the time are allowing ourselves to be distracted by our judgments because we think, again, like the same way we've talked about before, we think our judgments keep us safe. We think that our judgments give a certain order to the world, right, and give us our place in it. These judgments do not keep us safe. These judgments keep us in the illusion of separateness.
Yeah, and then after a while, the judgments are so habitual that, I mean, now we know better. Now we know that it's not my judgment, but I'm so caught up in, you know, 60 years of judgments that, but I have had the taste of letting that go and the experience without them, and that experience is a much happier experience. So I haven't had as many experiences on that side of the coin as on the other one, but that seems like a good way to get started on that and to know that that's the truth of it. Okay, where are we now?
14.
Okay, verse 14. No, yep.
Sentence 14,
yeah, whatever. Oh, sentence 14. Okay, 158. There will be fear and doubt and confusion about whether you should do what I've asked you to do. Look at what I've asked you to do in this way. I hold out to you the invitation to the banquet. That's the experience, right?
Yes. The real experience.
Right.
Yeah.
You may trust in your brother's perfection and lay your judgments aside, and that will be to accept my invitation. Or you may be distracted by your judgments and choose to trust them instead. It is your choice.
And you're not going to get to the banquet on time.
Or have any fun.
I mean, everybody's coming to the banquet, right? Because there's, you know, that's the only thing that's going on here. Obviously, that you can't miss the invitation altogether, but you can have the experience of missing it.
Right, right, right. What I ask you to leave behind if you are to enter the kingdom of heaven are your preconceptions of others as separate from yourself. And these preconceptions are upheld by the judgments you make of them. When you look at anyone or even think of anyone, your mind busies itself in making judgments. They may seem to be good or bad or favorable or unfavorable, but what each judgment has in common is that it splits the object brother off from others of whom a different judgment is made. The judgments you make about yourself split you off in the same way. So if you are to walk with me on this path to healing, I ask only that you be willing to lay your judgments aside. Lay them down now, and your burdens will be light. Let loose your judgments as they hold no value for you. Come and walk with me.
Yeah, this is just that that persistence in believing in separation. It's just, you know, if you want to continue to believe your thoughts and think of yourself as a separate person, and separate than and different than, separate from and different than your brother, you're entitled to do that.
But that's going to be the experience that you have. You're going to continue to experience yourself as a separate person.
Yeah, and
And thereby miss the banquet, which is the experience of not being separate.
Yeah. And you've realized how much we perpetuate that every day. Every day. I mean, how I separate myself from my brother every day. And when you get real, it's enough to break your heart.
Sweet.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think this is a good stopping place. Next Tuesday, we will begin NTI Luke chapter 15. We hope you're all here to join us. It's been a great opportunity. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. We're going to let go of the mic, and I'll be back in a few minutes for the consistent, gentle healing class. Thank you for letting us be on this journey with you. We love you.
Thank you, Jacqueline. It was really, really fun. I love you, too.